Thank you, Arturo, and thank you for this wonderful, optimistic outlook that you gave us, and also thank you for nearly keeping your time. We will move on to the next speaker. Please keep your questions in mind for the final debate, and I would like Hong Feng to speak next. Hong is the president of the tech user group in China on Chinese language processing. That's also, of course, a big issue in non-Latin language cultures, the localization. And then he is also the president of Ron's Datacom, and he's also the editor of the Free Software magazine. Please, Hong Feng.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Now I'll try to present a profile of the free software movement in China. Maybe many of you in the audience have never been traveling in China, so I take a map of China, where it is. Could you help me? Okay, it's the shape of China is like a cock. The two legs are Taiwan and Hainan, the two islands, the big islands in China. Okay, yes, it's how do you, okay. Yeah, okay, good. So this one, the coast is called the East Area, which the economic is very booming up now.
We need the microphone.
Okay. So in the west part is a desert or high mountains in Tibet. And in the east part, the economy is not so developed as the coast area. And most population are living in the east part. Okay, so the economy are now controlled by Beijing, the capital. And Shanghai is here. This is the Yangtze Triangle Economic Zone. They try to become the financial center in China. It's something like Bombay in India. Yeah. And this one, Guangzhou, is the center of Pearl River Economic Triangle. They are now working hard with Hong Kong's capital to make the market free. So the economy in South China is very is far ahead of other regions in China. Interestingly, most programmers, I mean high level programmers, are from South China, from these regions. Yeah. North programmer from North is not so clever. In my regard, because if you see the news groups or mailing list, most high level programmers are from Hunan, Sichuan, Zhejiang, or Canton. You know, stupid questions are always posed from the North programmers. Okay, this is that's a brief introduction to China. I think it's enough. Okay, thank you. So, let's give next is give you a brief introduction to the history of free software movement in China. We have a long history, of course, but we are also very very young country in many regards. The free software movement in China is still quite young. Even in United States, the birthplace of free software movement is still quite young. So how to evaluate the value of freedom is always a hot topic in China. There are a lot of debates what the value of the freedom it is in China. So the question is, How to describe the free software movement in comprehensive within 20 minutes is a hard job. So I try to summarize in several important aspects. I think I will give them give these outlines in five aspects. The correctly self-understanding to the freedom, people in the community, projects and the organization devoted to the movement and the international cooperation, environments related. So the entrance of a free software notion landed in China. It's around 1993 to 1994. Dr. Gong Min, who studied in Finland University, he did considerable works to set up the FTP site and bring the software packages in to China, because at that time internet was not so popular in China, and only a few people in China, mostly are located in the academic cycle, can access the internet. So he set up the FTP site and a discussion group around the time. So 1 year later, an association from the people in the discussion groups formed the association, and they have formal printed the bylaws and a committee. Most of them are also, have positions in some research institute or the government agencies. So in 1995, I returned from Russia and started how to learn how to writing programs. Unix machine never widely used in China. They just get applied in some niche vertical market, and like railway, banks, airlines, like that. So the PC are never get widely installed with Unix. MS-DOS, Windows, and Chinese versions of that is the most the case installed in the PCs. So most of the applications for PCs are Windows or DOS oriented. I quickly realized that the PC Windows or DOS doesn't fit for me because no source code available from Microsoft. Of course, in China you can buy, get CDs in the forms of unauthorized forms. In the streets, there are many salesmen or saleswomen. They can take a bag, a lot of CDs in the bags. Ask you, do you want CDs? Do you want the movies? So the no cost benefits in China doesn't make any sense. I'm for the free software. I think the most important is how to get the value from the free software is the source code. You can understand how things works. So I heard at that time I heard Linux, which is actually should be called GNU Linux. I heard it has the source code, so I downloaded the Slackware distribution from an FTP site. It's about 30 floppy disks. It take me about 3 months to install it. It's a nightmare, I think. It's a light mirrors, Not only one day, It's a very hard job, because no documentation, bad readme files, But anyway, in the 1996, I heard the SUSE did a good job. It's a YAST, which simplified the installation of the GNU Linux system. So I signed a contract with SUSE, but not SUSE Germany, but SUSE America. I started to distribute the SUSE in 1997. Nearly at the same time, a team of programmers in High Energy Physics Research Institute, they decide to solve the Chinese support, the localization for phones and the applications. Yeah. So they made a success, and these people are hired by Tuber Linux in 1999 to 1998, around that time. Yeah. So Tuber Linux is the first distribution of GNU Linux support Chinese. Red Hat is the newcomer. I'm sorry, Michael is here. So in the same time, Taiwan did a good job.
hacker in Taiwan because they have a lot of high level programs there. So in 1997 to 2000, I was in O'Reilly. I founded the O'Reilly Beijing. And with my effort, a lot of books introducing the open system was translated into Chinese, including Perl, TCP/IP programming, Java, blah, blah, blah. And the term open source software, the Chinese name was made by me in the news group. But I regret I made this term because later I become a free software supporter, unfortunately. But this word now is used anywhere in the public media. So in 1999, when I was still in O'Reilly, Richard Stallman, he made his second visit to China. And I met him in a hotel in Nanjing. The meeting changed my understanding to the open source. And because he told a lot of stories between the free software community, and he enlightened me the correct understanding to the free software. Fortunately, I can understand the English, so I think I understood what he said. One amazing fact is, before I met him, I think Linux is all. But when I met him, I realized that the Linux kernel is just 5% of the total volume in GNU Linux distribution. There are a lot of other jobs which done by the GNU project is also very important. And the notion to spread the freedom is the most important. So on May 26 of 2000, Richard Stallman and I signed MOU to set up the FSF China. Unfortunately, this organization still not become a legal organization. I will mention the reason later on. So in 2000, the internet bubbles reached its maximum size. A lot of investment embedded into the IT industry, so did in China. Also, the Chinese government realized the security issue of Windows because there are backdoors in Windows, as well as the backdoors in Intel chips, because they got a reply report that the FBI guys, you know, set backdoors, you know. You know, even the airplane we China purchased for the President Jiang Zemin, they installed a lot of sensors, you know, in the wings, in the cabins.
In the bed.
Yeah, maybe in the bed, yes, right. So 67 sensors was what discovered in the airplane. So with this situation, the leader tried to, you know, consider how to protect the country's benefits, the interest. Of course, the software is very crucial in this regard. So after shortly, after the study, they get a conclusion that GNU Linux comes with all the source code can be viewed and examined by our own engineers. So since then, they decide to support GNU Linux. And a lot of budget was issued, was approved to some state-owned companies to make our own distribution of GNU Linux. For example, Red Flag, maybe many of you heard of it, and other more than 10 distributions was released in the 2000 and 2002. Myself, I cooperate with Easy Linux, which is from Germany. Yeah, so I made a new distribution of that, which focuses on easy to use. Yeah. So in Jan of 2000, I left O'Reilly and started to be a full-time worker, okay, for free software community. So I launched a MNM project. MN is not a million recursively, like GNU is not Unix. So the mission of the project is to establish a free software community, which is FFF China, to publish free documentations. The number is said to be 100, and train hackers, 10,000. So in May to June of 2000, Richard Stallman made his third trip to China. It is a long trip. He stayed nearly a month in China. So we visited a lot of Chinese cities and made a series of speeches. He systematically explained what is GNU project, Linux copyright, blah blah blah. And his speech greatly promoted the free software movement in China. Nearly in the same time, some special interesting groups are founded in many Chinese cities. Usually they are interested in special topics, such as application in embedded devices, devices driver development. Okay, so on the other hand, the internet bubble was broken in 2001 and 2002. So most programmers working for the open source felt high pressure. So at that time, I made a hard work. I published the first issue of Free Software Magazine. You can download it from my website. In the same year, China joined the WTO. It's good because in the past, before the 1980s, in China there are no copyright law. So China was forced to make a high level of copyright law in order to join the WTO. So the intellectual property protection forced by China, but most people in China today still don't have the concept what is copyright, which is a good thing in one side and bad in another side. So Chinese, right now the economy is in rapid growth. This year it's 8% of the GDP increasement. So we in Chinese, unlike in English, we have the two words to express the freedom and gratis. So it's not difficult to express the free software correctly at all. But the problem is the how to demonstrate the benefits of free software to the enterprises, to the users. This involves a lot of jobs for us to do. So I think to demonstrate the value of the freedom, we need a lot of works devoted from our community. So there are a lot of Linux user groups now available in China. And every year there are 100,000 students studying computer science graduate from the university.
Yeah.
So this is a lot of human resources. Also, there are other communities such as FreeBSD. They have a solid user base in China. A lot of internet server was built on the FreeBSD. And for example, my user group, CTAC, Chinese user Chinese tech user group, they have 700 members worldwide. So most of them are developers, publishing, working for the publishing companies, typesetting workshops. Yeah. And the state-owned company are still working hard. Right now, they try to focalize on desktops. Yeah. And the individuals or freelance developers are the strongest part in Chinese free software segments, like anywhere in the world, because most creative software packages in free software are done by individuals, not by commercial companies. I think all of you have realized this. Yeah. So these three segments consist the basic structure of the community. So there are projects which are going on, including the localization to have a nice user interface. This is done very quickly. I think from Red Hat, you have a lot of progress, which is very actively and positively. And also, we are also always pay high attention to the new market, which is consists of the new embedded devices, such as mobile phone, PDAs, because in this market, there is no monopoly yet. Yeah, Microsoft cannot monopoly this market because it's new. And there are so many kinds of devices. You cannot install so huge Microsoft Windows into such small devices. And this is, I think, is a huge benefit of China, because China is becoming the manufacturing center in Asia, maybe in the future in the world. Yesterday, one audience there, they complained his work lost because the work was outsourcing to China. But Chinese products is very high quality and low cost because of the many benefits there. Also the leapfrogging is solved step by step. So, in order to have more developers for the free to join the free software movement, I developed the hackathon training program, which can enable people from scratch to become the high level hackers within a relatively short time. Yeah. Also, we have a project to design a new operating system, which is called Min OS, which I will give another speech in Karlsruhe in this month. So there are international cooperation. China is very close to Korea and Japan. So the government of these three countries have decided to made an East Asian oriented Linux distributions. I think you have heard all the news from Slashdot. So overall, Taiwan, you know, the most of the factories in Taiwan making hardwares, they are moving the factories to the South China. So such as the motherboard, keyboard, the mouse, a lot of factories are localized in South of China. So this prevent a lot of new features to new opportunities to the free software developers. Also the new equipment made in China, they hire programmers. So that means programmers of free software, they don't need to be must be working in a company of free software. They can be working in many other positions. Like factories and the institute to make this design these devices. For example, another kind of effort is making the cooperation with Europe. Now Red Flag are working very hard with QT to build the new user-friendly interface. Yeah. Because Lenovo is the largest PC manufacturer in China. So they signed a protocol with Trotec. Also, the infrastructure in China is perfectly good, I shall say. Because we enter into the optical fiber directly. So optical fiber access are available in many, many Chinese cities right now. So the infrastructure in China is very, very nice. Also, there are a lot of cyber cafe in cities, which is cheap. The cyber cafe in Berlin is 2.3 euro near my hotel. But in Beijing, it's just a 2 RMB. That's 1/10, you know, for the cost. So it's very cheap. Yeah. But the sad issue is most people using the internet are teenagers. So they play games, you know. But I think once we find a way to, to make the teenagers to love to programming, you know, because programming is also a lot of fun. Then we can find a lot of hackers. Also, have a huge game industry in China. I think this is a new growth for the Chinese industry. Okay. Give me 1 minute more, okay? So, as I said, I'm developed the HTTP Hackathon training program. So the main is to show the aesthetic part of program for newcomers, and how to creatively apply free software in practice, and some know-how to grow business in free software. We need this to we need to train people to know all of this. So the legal support is also very important, because now we have a lot of problems unsolved in the legal side. For example, free software developers cannot register the program legally. Yeah, it's amazing, because they said we just protect the proprietary software. So I'm trying to write the congressman to change the situation. So in the coming decades, I think Chinese free software community is keeping in growth. I think we are working very hard in the country. It's the road is zigzag, of course, because China is so big, and everything, you know, it's have a lot of difficulty to solve. But the positive issue is the understanding to the freedom is getting clear right now. Is there. So the road is clear. We just catch up with other community, and we try to unite with the other communities. Thank you.